crucial moment that we wait for every week.
Pretty exciting, huh?
They're back with a big new program.
When you hear the chime, it will be exactly...
Who wants an orange whip?
Are we live?
Yeah!
Orange whip?
Come get some.
Orange whip?
And here it is!
Three orange whips.
Party, I'm more like a riot.
Nailed on the roof, gang.
Here's Johnny.
You shall see that.
He's alive!
Wonderful to tell.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Hail to the king, baby.
Release the Kraken.
It's showtime.
Welcome back, listener. It is the big program. I am Derek Knight. We are pleased to be here. We'll go in reverse order this time. Jessica is with us across the room.
Oh, hello.
The only college-educated member of the cast.
Nuts.
Heather, my sister, she's over there.
Hi there.
Actually in the corner. You're more in the corner than Jess is.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's in the actual corner. Like, we don't have a baby to put in the corner, but if we did, we'd put it in the corner. Colin.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Coughing any?
Oh, yeah.
No, he's coughing. I got Colin and Heather these really cool broadcast headsets because, well, it's twofold. One, it's easier for me to run the cables that way. And two, you know, they can just move around and then the mic moves with them. But now Heather's figured out how to move her gooseneck to cough. And so this is like watching, it's like watching a baby giraffe learn to run. So this is really fun.
But I'm not going to run into any walls, I hope.
I hope not.
Can we stop kicking the dead giraffe, please?
Depends, you know.
We cannot stop kicking the dead giraffe.
There have been other giraffes born. I wonder if any of them will die horrible deaths.
I can only hope. I don't know. Don't give me that look. And this is an auditory podcast. So if you're going to make a look like that, you've got to make a sound that corresponds with it. Yeah, there you go. You're learning. Everybody's learning. They're getting back. It's rust. Rust, guys. We've got to knock the rust off. We've been gone for 4 years. And there's been really, some of us have been in practice, I guess. Jess and I did improv. I've been doing stand-up. Jess and I both host trivia. So we're on a mic on a regular basis. But that means that we get hecklers. And actually, I should take that back. We don't get hecklers. We get enemies of fun.
We get douchebags.
There is no such thing as a because in stand-up, everybody's like, oh, do you get heckled a lot? And I'm like, I don't, actually. And it's not like, I'm not saying that like, oh, nobody, two people are afraid to heckle me. It's like, I do shows where they announce right up front, do not heckle. And I'm like, thank you for that, because I don't like being heckled. I don't know anybody that does. There are a couple of comics that make their living being heckled, like Steve Hostetter.
Right.
Like, he goes expecting to be heckled so he can riff with the audience.
But here's the thing. If you are an audience member and you're going to see a comedian who is not openly advertised that it's a heckling show, if you heckle, you're the asshole.
You're an asshole. Yeah, and that's it. You're just an enemy of fun.
You're ruining everybody else's paid entertainment.
Yeah. And while Jess and I have probably a couple of heckler stories, I know that Heather has some bad customer stories.
I do.
Because she is a customer-facing employee. She works at a pizza place, and she has to deal with people, and people at their worst, really.
Yes.
Colin.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm out of luck here. I'm not customer-facing.
I wouldn't say you're out of luck. You've made a good career choice because if you had to work with the public, I don't think it would go very well.
I have worked with the public.
Yeah, and so we'll probably delve into that well of sadness that I'm sure is still there.
I don't know. I feel like you get to deal with the unpredictability that is the small company atmosphere.
That and clients that
of where you
I
work.
Have no influence over.
That. Yeah.
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 In other words, we all have bad customer service experiences.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But before we get into that on this second episode of the big program, we're going to talk about DNA. We all have it. We've all left it somewhere. Sometimes we leave it inside other people, and sometimes other people be born from that DNA. It's weird. You've got two kids. I've got one.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. This is great. But I've also recently taken a DNA test.
How did that turn out?
It turned out. I passed.
Woo!
Well, here's the thing.
Human.
These DNA tests, that are so readily available now. Back in the day of OJ's trial, it was such fanciful, oh, what is this sorcery that we're speaking of? Now, all you got to do is pay, what, $50? If you get a coupon, you can get a Groupon.
Right, we went from 2008, 23andMe, I believe it was, got the Nobel Prize for innovation and all of that with home DNA test kits, and now you can get Groupons.
You can get a Groupon to have your DNA tested. And the reason that I got my DNA tested was because our grandmother, our oldest surviving, and I said surviving, and that'll come back. that theme will come back with a vengeance, kids. Our oldest surviving relative, which is my dad's mom, our dad, I guess you're still related to me. You're not actually adopted. We found out.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
it's official.
Our grandmother, who's like 90 billion years old.
She's 95.
90 billion. She wanted to know desperately who her people were. She wanted to know where she came from. And because here's the thing, we've got family lore and we've got family stories. And one of the family stories was that she was half Cherokee and that we had Cherokee and Choctaw blood. Now look at us. Look at us. You can't look
for
at us.
For the record, I'm looking at two of the whitest people I have ever seen. The whitest people,
like milk bottles. We cannot keep out of direct sunlight is our warning label.
Yep.
But I've also known red-haired Hispanics. I've also known, it doesn't matter what you look like so much, but there was always that doubt.
Well, and she came out of a period where people were wanting to desperately claim some Native American blood. Like, this still happens, I think. People desperately want to claim that they're Native American for whatever personal reason that they have.
And I don't know, but as it turns out, I am 0% Native American, but I am I'm one half of 1% Togo, so West Africa represent.
We all came from West Africa at some point.
But I had mostly Swedish. That was not a shock. But what was surprising, and what I didn't understand about DNA until I delved into this and actually spit in the tube,
which is really gross, by the way.
And I'll tell you what, if you think about the grossest thing you've ever been in the room with, and then amplify that up to 10, and a 95-year-old woman with a dry mouth trying to fill up a tube with saliva,
that's disgusting.
Fucking tops it. I'm sorry, but she wanted that, and so it was a Christmas gift, and I was like, 2 for 1? I can do it for free? Cool. Well, I didn't. I had to pay for both of them, but I got to do it, and she got to do it. But then, as punishment, we all had to watch her spit in the tube. And
that was pretty bad.
The most disgusting thing I've ever had to sit through. But as it turns out, I am mostly Swedish, some Irish, which my sister,
had adamantly disavowed
with Irish. The genealogy research. But as it turns out, we are.
Or
at least I am part. Me too. Some English and some other bullshit and mostly European. Basically, just like, no shock, I'm white. But zero Native American. The Togo, the West Africa, is the closest we get, but zero Native American. And so I was like, okay, I'm not super shocked, but it definitely goes against family lore. And, you know, then we had to wait for her spit results to come back. And it turns out she ain't got shit for Native American blood in her either. I'm talking about my grandmother. And then you were tempted. You're like, oh, I'd like to find out.
Yes,
but we don't
it.
Have the same DNA. I mean, we have similar DNA, but we don't have the same percentages.
Mine was all Scandinavian. It was like 25% Swedish. There was some Finnish, some Danish.
I had some Swedish and some Norway. And
a little
some
bit of Irish, a little bit of Scottish.
But I was definitely more non-Scandinavian than you were.
Is possible even among the same parents.
It is, and that's what I'm learning. Because we were always told, well, you're both a quarter Swedish because your mom's a half Swedish. And it's like that apparently...
That's not how it works.
That's not how science works.
Well, apparently it worked with me because I am literally 25% Swedish.
But guess what? I am 33% Swedish.
That's
I am so much more Swedish than you are.
So 8%.
8% is where the magic happens, people.
So it's kind of like your grandma was a living example of the movie your mom reviewed last time.
Yeah.
She couldn't
she climbed
find her
the
people.
Ice and she did she not kept find
climbing
her people.
The ice. I don't know. This woman can barely get out of her easy chair, so I don't know if she's going to be doing any ice climbing anytime soon. But yes, yeah, it's the same. I want to find my people. Sorry,
Strap
your people
on those don't know. High heels. I'm going to put on my best leather. Go find my Yeti.
Go find my Yeti people. My Yeti spaghetti. That's what she wants. I mean, she's a very nice person, and she still lives. She exists, and it's great. And now she knows. And now I keep printing out, like, because Ancestry DNA, it's who we went through. Because you've been using Ancestry.com for a long time to do the genealogy stuff.
Yes.
So I went through them because I'm like, well, this should be compatible.
Because they want you in their database.
They do. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I didn't pop up with any illegitimate children or any, like, serial killer stuff. But it keeps sending me, oh, we've found new additions to your family tree. But because I also had to submit for my grandmother, I get, we found new additions to Lila's family tree. And they're not always the same. They don't, it's not like a Venn diagram that completely overlaps.
Have you ever looked at family trees? Like, even trying to draw them out, they're messy.
Oh, they are messy. Fuck. And the best part is that when my results came back and then her results got into that mix, it was like, we found a match that is most likely a first cousin. And I'm like, most likely a first cousin, not a sibling. No, most likely a first cousin. And her name is Heather.
I'm like, yay! Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's an inexact science, but it's also wonderful to see how the DNA actually combines. Like, we never really knew for sure what my dad was. Or maybe you had started to figure it out.
I had finally started to figure it out because for some reason, Dad's dad never talked about his family. Nobody knew anything about it except for some names.
Yeah.
And it was just recently that we finally figured out. It was like there's some Irish and German and Dutch running around in there. But
see, I it's funny to me because I'm at a point where I have tons of family stories and some people on my dad's side have started taking these DNA tests, and people on my mom's side are very paranoid. And I tend to fall into that more like, I'm not taking a DNA test because I'm not
the Boston Strangler.
I don't want my DNA to be put in a database and used against my permission to determine whether I can get health care or not.
Is this the New England side?
It's very passive aggressive. Yeah. And it comes out and rears its ugly little dragon
head.
We're
not going to give the government anything to use on us.
But I have so many stories because my grandmother, who passed away in January, she kind of was the keeper of the family stories, and I have photo albums, and I have all of these stories that she told very similar to what your grandmother tells. And it's just like, well, where is the truth? I mean, I know that based on her accounts, she was born in Massachusetts. They lived in Provincetown, Massachusetts. Her dad worked in the refrigeration, part of a giant fish house, like an ice house where all the fishing boats would come in. He was a refrigeration engineer. And her mother was deaf. She was stone deaf from birth. And so
I love the phrase stone deaf.
Yeah. She, like, and I've like seen pictures of the woman.
Stone deaf.
Weirdly. And my mother, oh God, I hope my mom doesn't listen to this. My mother.
Hi, Christine.
Looks so much like my grandmother's mom. It's ridiculous. Like,
she's not deaf, but she's baffled by card tricks.
Oh, she's got Winifred boobs. She looks just like they look so, I found some pictures of her and they look so similar, and she would not be pleased with me talking about that, but
I'll put a disclaimer. Christine Olsen is not allowed to listen to this podcast,
but yeah, it would be interesting. You know, part of me really wants to take a DNA test to see, like, okay, I'm the confluence of like these two lines of people who have very, very different family stories. You know, on one side I've got like, oh, we were all, you know, fishermen from Portugal on my mother's side, and then on my dad's side it was like, you know, Wild West German beet farmers from Russia and Pennsylvania Dutch, and
but also camp liberators in World War II.
Absolutely,
that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, my grandfather was stationed in Germany during World War II and told me some weird stuff before he passed away.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me. I mean, we're going to take a little bit of a sidetrack. Some people who went through those experiences in World War I, World War II, and Vietnam, obviously all the World War I veterans are pretty much dead now, but they all experienced these things, and some were willing to talk and some weren't. And my experience growing up, and I'm sure this was, if you were paying attention, it was your experience too, Heather, was that my dad's dad was absolutely willing to talk, and he saw some heavy combat. He was a Purple Heart with oak leaf clusters. He was shot in the head by a sniper, and with that bullet in his head that he actually had in his jaw, because it went in through his temple and made its way down to its jaw, his jaw. They never got it out. It just stayed there until he died. And with just a limited amount of ammunition, he came into a clearing and killed a shitload of enemies with some bullets, some bayonets, some bare hands. And he was a tiny man. He was like 5'5", 130. So he was just a ball of fury. And then, you know, he'd go and eradicate machine gun nests with grenades. But he would tell us every single detail that he could remember. And so that was my experience growing up. I'm like, oh, people love to talk about this. And our mom's dad, he was Navy, but he was stationed on a supply ship. So the most action they saw was, you know, dressing up as girls to do a little review between hurricanes. They were anchored out in the Philippines. They didn't see actual action like infantry Charles.
I mean, they saw action, but not
they
the kind
saw
of action.
A little bit of action. Harold was Navy and Charles was Army and blah, blah, blah. But then later in life, I find out a lot of people don't like to talk about it. And that was it didn't shock me. I didn't consider it.
My grandfather, I mean, when I was growing up, I knew he was a vet and he'd fought in the war, quote unquote. And that's all we ever heard of it until, I mean, he was relatively close to his death. And this was in the early 2000s.
How do you know you're close to death? Do you get a tracking number?
Or? Well, it has since happened. So
okay.
I know in retrospect.
Got it.
But he kind of started opening up as he was getting older and he had heart failure and was hauling around an oxygen tank and started just randomly telling stories about things that he remembered.
So he wanted his story not to die with him.
Yeah, to put it together, I mean, they were part of the wave. I mean, there is a wave of quote-unquote the German beet farmers from Russia that immigrated into the U.S. and came predominantly into the Midwest, and Colorado had a huge, I mean, a lot of our history in this state is based on immigration from Germans who had gone to Russia under the rule of Catherine the Great to teach farming methodology to the Russians, and then they ended up, once the politics in Russia changed, you know, pre-World War One, during World War One, leading into World War Two, there were these huge waves of immigrants that came over. So my grandfather was one out of seven boys, so I have a huge number of relatives. Side note, I used to have a policy in high school where I would not go on blind dates because I got set up not once, but twice on blind dates with people who turned out to be cousins. Anyway.
Cousins!
Yeah, huge, huge family. And, but he, you think about it, this is a guy who's United States, red-blooded American boy, you know, born in the state of Colorado, farm and stock, farm and family, and his mother never learned to speak English. She always spoke German. And so you've got seven boys, and they all were ranging from blonde to sandy brown hair and blue eyes, and they spoke perfect native German. And so when they enlisted...
So this isn't like that scene in Inglourious Basterds where the dude's fucking it up. And then
not at all.
Ein Bier! It's like, oh, say goodbye to your
Nazi
boss.
These are guys who we don't know a whole lot of the stories. We've been able to piece together bits and pieces, but I know from pieces he told me is, one, he was required at some point to steal a German uniform and pose as a soldier. And then...
It's my favorite scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, and I mean, and because he spoke perfect German, who knows how long he was doing that. And then he also was witnessed the opening of two separate concentration camps when the liberators came through.
Wow.
And that was one of those things, like, he would never talk about it because he was such a happy guy. Like, he was so happy and he was drunk all the time.
That's probably
and
why he was drunk all the time.
Putting it together as an adult, it's like, oh, you witnessed some really crazy shit.
Yeah, I know. A lot of our generation is like, I'm depressed. It's like, you don't know what that's like.
And again, too, you come back to it, though, and it's the family lore. It's the family stories. Like, I don't know how much of this is true. I'm going on word of mouth. I'm going on the stories of a man who was, you know, in his 80s when he was telling me this stuff.
Sure.
And so,
and who knows? Memory is fallible.
It really is.
I mean, I did a whole set at a thing called Science Riot, which is a fun show. It's the premise of the show is that they get scientists who have never done stand-up to do stand-up based on things that they're experts in. But because they're super hard up for scientists, they let a stand-up try science for the first time.
They bring in one or two actual stand-ups to try some science.
And so I learned a little bit about memory and the fallibility of memory, and so I did a whole set about, oh no, we can't trust our memory. None of what we remember is probably accurate, because every time we recall a memory, it's basically being repainted by a very demented Bob Ross, which is fun if you think about it, but also it's like, son of a bitch, is anything real? Ugh. Speaking of, tell us about your DNA results.
Well, there's not a lot to tell. I mean, I was basically, it's all Scandinavian.
You're super white.
Super white. There's that little bit of German, little bit of Dutch, little bit of Irish and Scottish.
We're just really white and we got great big calves. That's our family.
Exactly, yes.
Hold on. We're going to take this white and we're going to sprinkle on
you like white. Uh-huh. So we took some white and added it to your white, and now you're super white.
Now you're super white.
We put in a couple of ivory flakes, you know, for some color.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But what's the best part about this has been that a couple people have reached out to me because I popped up on theirs.
Right, yeah.
Saying, hey, you know, you're related to this person. And so they reached out to me. And one guy actually descended from a line that I hit a brick wall on years and years and years ago.
Well, that's fun. And because, so, and what people need to realize before we get too far into this is that Heather has spent years and years and years before this whole DNA bullshit doing genealogy research at a very deep level. Like, she's put a lot of work into trying to figure out with genealogy who we are and where we come from.
Mm-hmm.
Looking up records before they were online, kind of thing.
Yeah, and
how many people do you have?
I just got a new program and imported everything from the old program, and there's over 55,000 people.
Jesus Christ!
That I had entered.
Wait, is he in there?
Probably somewhere. But yeah, and just I've been doing it for over 20 years. I don't exactly remember when I started, but Grandma Wittergren started me on it because I was bored one night and they were all going to play Pinochle.
Yeah.
And I never played that game. So she's like,
good Lord,
here.
Nobody wants to play Pinochle.
And threw this manila folder at me and said, here, you might be interested in this. And it was all her genealogy info that she had gotten from family in Texas. And it just started the ball rolling and I haven't stopped. And
it is interesting to me, for as antisocial as you are, that you got along so well with her.
I know,
because
right?
I don't get along with anybody. I have a very, and I'm sorry if you're listening and we're related, but I have a theory that just because you're related doesn't mean you have to like that other person. And I just don't. But I don't fellowship. I don't fraternize. I am a bad human being. It's like we were talking about last night, like, oh, you know, when you get divorced, there's all those friends that pick sides. And I'm like, spoiler alert, I didn't like any of you. So go to hell. It doesn't matter. But go ahead.
Where was I?
Grandma handed you a manila envelope.
Oh, yeah, she handed me this, it was like one of those big, giant manila envelopes, and she was like, here, do this. And it was just all this information from this cousin down in Texas that was like, here, these are your people, and it just...
Were these the Littlefields?
It was the Littlefields.
What clumsy motherfuckers they were. Did, like, half of them die in a shootout?
That was one little branch of them.
Jesus
yes.
Christ.
That was
it's and like, it's, learn to shoot straight.
It started
and
at a dance.
Cover.
And
well, it's kind of a thing you can't really learn.
I was born with it.
I'm just saying.
When
yeah, exactly.
Out,
you're
when
born
I
with
go
it.
I go out to the shooting range and Jess will back me up.
You
don't
get much
targets.
Chance to practice.
I don't bring targets. I bring playing cards and I just plug through the ace of spades every. It's like,
hey.
You can do that. And I'm ashamed to be related to these people.
You saw me the first time I ever held a handgun.
You did all right.
I did okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in their time, it may have just suddenly come upon them where they had to deal with this situation.
And it did.
Son of a bitch,
it
we
did.
Got the clampage coming.
Yeah. Well, he did, because they went to a dance at this barn.
Oh, fuck.
Where, one guy,
where all the shit happened.
One guy asked the wrong girl to dance, and
ooh.
That was all it took. God. And there was a shootout in the road, and these people died.
Every romance novel I've ever read is coming to fruition right now in this story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a book written about that, but I know my Grandma Wittergren bought it, and then she tried to read it, and she's like, I can't read it, it's too dull. And I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if I took it after she passed away or not. It might be somewhere in my basement, I'm not sure. but
so there was a shooting.
I'm gonna divert
at a dance
for a second.
In a barn.
If you have to cough, just give me a high sign. I'll mute you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. And then because we could still hear you,
he was just trying to reenact Lila spitting into the tube.
Oh my god, it was Lila, if you're listening, we love you.
So I'm sorry.
So back to the bodice ripper that's going on over here with the genealogy.
The bodice ripper.
The bodice ripper, yes. No, I can't remember.
Whoa, who ripped a bodice?
I don't know that anybody's bodice got ripped, but I really think that somebody just, what it was there was three brothers from this one Littlefield family, and then one of them asked a girl to dance, and her beau was upset and got his, I don't know if it was his family or friends.
Wait. They were treating women like property?
Yeah.
Bitches.
Right? But yeah, so there was gunfire and three of them died and yeah, it was crazy.
Again, what was it we were talking about in the last episode about people taking themselves out of the gene pool when necessary?
Maybe that was worth it. I don't know. But it's like, come on. None of this sounds like it's really heroic.
No, and it wasn't a heroic thing. And there was a couple... What was interesting to me was there's a couple old newspaper articles about it that somebody had found and put online, which is really cool. But...
I mean, yeah, it is nice when you're like, oh, this is all apocryphal. No, it's not. It's real.
Yeah.
Did I say that word right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I was looking at the English major.
I'm assuming, yes.
Rock on.
You said what you meant to say, and you meant what you said.
All right, Dr. Seuss. So, but you haven't done any DNA or genealogy,
yeah, I'm looking
right?
at Colin,
no, I'm
too.
Actually with Jessica on that. I didn't really want to be in a database by choice.
The government gonna steal my
Thank
identity.
You.
The government. Come on, the government.
It's not the government I'm worried about. It's
the corporations.
Freaking health insurance companies and the corporate monstrosities
and
out
the
there.
And the Mormons, I mean...
Well, yeah, isn't fuck that, those Mormons.
Isn't that how the Golden State Killer finally got caught?
I think so, yeah.
Little DNA
test. We were
test.
Listening to a podcast about
Yeah,
that.
Like his relatives took DNA tests or something
and, they're
and
like,
pointed
whoa,
to him.
Wait a minute. Yeah. But you've had some interesting experiences.
I have.
And I don't know to what level you want to talk about this.
Now, I do. I personally have not taken DNA tests, but both on my mother's side and my father's side, and my parents are divorced and have been divorced for about 20 years. So let me caveat by saying these searches are completely independent of each other. Thanks, Rubber Ducky, for emphasizing the divorce.
That's the divorce sound.
The divorce ducky. Thanks,
yes.
Ducky.
The divorce duck.
I like the divorce duck. I hope it rears its ugly head again whenever we talk about divorce. Anyway, so I found out on my mother's side, she has two brothers.
Yeah.
And one of her brothers had... gotten a girlfriend pregnant in high school, and this was a child that he knew about, but they were teenagers, so, you know, it was the 60s, she was whisked away, baby was put up for adoption, never to be heard of again, you know, it wasn't like now where you have the option of, you know, electing whether you want to be found or searchable or whatnot later or not. He was not given a choice in the matter. And he also, again, it was the 60s, and he was the kind of guy that went to Woodstock and that sort of thing. There were many encounters, and it just
Keep
wasn't
going.
A time where women talked about if they got pregnant or not from a hookup. So recently, within the last couple of years, I've found out that I have two first cousins that are both within a year in age of each other, and I'm friends with both of them now. One of them more than the other on Facebook, and it's been wonderful chatting with them and sharing, like, I know my family history, because this is my uncle, and he never knew that he had kids, and they both found him through DNA searches, because even though he was unlisted or wasn't able to list himself as being findable in whatever database existed at the time, because he took a DNA test, and within 6 months, both these people popped up and were like, hey! You're our dad!
Son of a... I mean...
Guess what? I'm 47 years old and you have three grandkids.
But that, I mean...
Welcome to the family. It's kind of a cool thing, really. They're both very cool people, so it worked out
yeah.
well.
Yeah. I would think that if somebody's going to surprise you with, you're my dad, then, you know, it's better that they're grown and they can support themselves. It's not
it's not
here's
awkward.
Here's a baby.
Like, I had a coworker. Oh,
yes,
this
tell
is
us
great.
I was about to bring that up.
Yeah, I had a coworker who, so I work for a brewery, and 11, 12, 13 years ago, I worked behind the bar in the tasting room, and I had a coworker in the tasting room, older dude, really fun guy. And he.
Clearly.
Yeah, oh, he was on like his third marriage, and he was just a happy go lucky dude. He was
just
in
putting
his,
peen and vagina to break
he was in the late. He was in his late 60s, and. Literally working behind the bar in a brewery tasting room one day, had a girl walk in and she's like, hey, I'm going to change his name for the sake of, I don't have permission to tell this story. Is Mike here today?
Mike. We'll his real name is Michael.
Mike. Is Mike here today? And I'm like, no, he's not working. I'm so sorry. He was a really popular dude, though. A lot of people come in asking for him.
Clearly.
Yeah, he gave tours. He was wonderful. He's very social. He had a lot of friends. And she's like, oh, that's disappointing. Can I leave my name and number? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Why are you trying to contact him? Well, I think I might be his daughter.
I'm Cheryl Mike's
daughter. And I'm just like, who comes into a brewery tasting room? Like, I think this guy who gives tours in this brewery might be my dad.
Hey.
But ended up being
a
very...
I mean, you hope it's a law office or a doctor's office.
Super wonderful situation in the long run. Like, he was very happy. She was very happy. They reconnected. It was fantastic. Everybody's accepted. Same fucking thing happened three times with
Whoa.
This guy. He had
dude procreated like a champ,
and it was just like he took a DNA test, and then the people just started wandering in,
yeah.
coming out of the woodwork. Like, hey, think you might
Hi.
Be my dad?
Are you my daddy?
You know that week you spent, you know, living naked on the beach in Mexico? Think you might be my dad?
Well, that's the thing.
Festival.
If you're just gonna be naked on a beach, sometimes you might make a baby. That's just how
it's
naked stuff works.
You know, it's indicative of how times have changed, and yet this strange prudishness that is the United States.
That's true. Yeah, we were talking
about that.
That
was highly entertaining to me to watch, because for some reason, I was always the person working either behind the bar or at the reception desk when these people wandered in, and I'm like, let me guess, you're looking for Mike. Oh, wait, let me guess.
You've got his
eyes. You are a child, right? Let me tell you how big of a family you have.
Well, I mean,
growing.
there was an artist who was popular in the 50s and 60s called Screamin' Jay Hawkins. And he's one of my personal heroes. Really, without Screamin' Jay Hawkins and Screaming Lord Sutch in England, there would be no Alice Cooper. There would be no ICP. He was horror rock before horror rock existed. But there was a website for a while, and it's been since taken down, but it was called jayskids.com because he... was open. He's like, I have probably fathered like 1,000 kids. Turned out it was more like 5,000. Like, dude, just wherever he went, he would just hook up. He was like Genghis Khan. He was the Genghis Khan of horror rock.
Can I come in with a, this is the problem with men?
Oh, no,
and
absolutely.
And the whole current debate
yeah.
is that a man can father, you know, multiple children a day, theoretically
yeah.
and practically,
yeah.
depending on how active you are.
But one woman can only carry one child to term in a year.
Yeah, every roughly 9 to 10 months, a woman can have one. Maybe two or three if you're genetically popping out a litter.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He's the Johnny Appleseed of sperm.
But yeah,
he is.
Dude,
he was.
Look at
yeah.
Genghis Khan. I mean, Genghis Khan, have you looked into the DNA research on Genghis Khan? There's actually, you can submit your DNA. Am I a descendant of Genghis
to
Khan?
To the Genghis
no,
Khan
No,
festival.
There is an estimation at this point, something like a fifth of the planet at this point. The people
yeah.
on this planet are somehow descended from Genghis Khan because he... got around, pillaged, whatnot, so much.
Genghis Khan did not come up in my DNA profile, but...
not shocked.
Yeah. I'm
whitest people ever. Didn't we start the podcast with this?
We did, sorry. Super white, so white.
Thanks, Lila.
The whitest of... Yeah, see, it was literally the worst. And I've done a lot of really bad, like, shitty... I've had some shitty times. And it was the worst time because it was supposed to be like, we gave her what she wanted. She was elated. Like it was the
she
happiest.
She cried. She was so
she
happy.
She cried. She was, and then she proceeded to fill the spit tube. And me personally, I wanted to vomit. I could see the look on the, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
I was there.
And she's making a face like, uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was the most disgusting thing we've had to see. And I, yeah, and this, bear in mind that I have held someone's leg while they gave birth. All right. So this was the most disgusting thing I've witnessed. And I've witnessed an episiotomy up close.
We've all heard the episiotomy story.
No, not all of us, but I'm going to skip it. because we're going to move on.
Save that one for another podcast. Yeah,
to bad customer service slash heckler stories. Because really, if you're a performer, hecklers are your customers, really. And so it is a bad customer service story either way. But since you probably got the shortest and least impressive one, Colin, why don't you start?
You're welcome. With an intro like that, how can I not?
That's right.
I want him to blow
with
it
all
out.
The love in the world. Yeah, I want him to blow it out of the fucking
water.
I want
water.
Him to hit it so hard that we're like, we can't follow.
We're
that.
Just gonna be like, what? What?
Man, I don't know.
Man.
I mean, if I go all the way back to when I was working in movie theaters,
that's a good place to start.
Yeah, in on the floor taking tickets, I'd run across douchey dudes who would tear their own tickets or joke about it or like not let go of it and make me tear it off of their hand. It just
sounds traumatic.
Yeah, it's a pain.
Yeah.
I don't know. I generally don't like people.
I am with you on that. Yeah, like I said, strict no fellowship, no fraternization rule unless I like people, and I like five people, right. And four of them, three of them are right here. I can't count. I'm also bad at math.
Lately, I have to deal with stuff coming through the owner of my company for clients.
His name is Mike.
Anybody who shall not be named on this program shall henceforth be named Mike.
Mike.
Yep. From clients that don't know what they want, and I can't interact with them to figure it out. So
right.
It's
oh,
all
God,
secondhand
I hate
design.
Third fucking party bullshit.
Yeah, I'm going through that right now. So that's unpleasant. But yeah, I mean, since leaving the theater, I've managed to avoid having to work with the public. So
yeah,
I like that ticket tearing experience drove you to the levels of trauma that it took to find a job with no public interaction whatsoever.
I think that was always going to be his path, though.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, listener, I used to work with Colin, sat next to him at multiple jobs, but especially the job he has now, I had that job for almost 4 years, three, 4 years. And I left on bad terms because
they made it be bad terms.
They made it be bad terms.
Not the worst terms, though.
Not the worst terms.
There's somebody that did worse.
Well, there's other people that have done worse, and I have personally done worse. We may cover that some other time, but I know you're itching because you have bad
customer service
stories.
She's got the best bad customer stories.
My sister Heather works. She's done many things in her life. She's a very intelligent person, but she loves working at this place, and that's called it's a pizza place. We're not going to say it because they're not sponsoring us.
It's not just a pizza place.
But it's a pizza palace.
It is pizza palace.
It's an experiential restaurant that harkens back to ye olden
times. To a simpler time.
When people would shoot each other at barn dances.
That's true.
It is a family sit-down pizza experience with a salad bar.
But when she's not pretending to be HR and or accounting, she has to work with the public.
I do. And that's the worst part of the day. But there are so many. I mean, I don't think I can count on one hand how many days I've probably come home and not had any stories to tell Colin about people. But just recently, this was only a couple of weeks ago, this guy came up. Older guy by himself, and he's looking at the menu, and he's like, "You changed things." Like, okay. What? And a lot of people say that because they've been gone so long. Like, they'll go 20 years before they come back. So it's
like the arcade's in a different
place.
Let's
exactly.
You have been associated with this place in one way, shape, or form for 30 years.
30 years. And it was
30 fucking years. Some
30
of you
years
listening
in
haven't
April.
Been alive for 30 years.
So. He was like, "You changed things." And I didn't say anything. And then he said, "You used to have a pizza salad combo." "No, sir, we've never had any combos." "Well, I was here 2 years ago and you did." And I was like, "Well, I've been here 30 years and we've never had any combos."
Oh, shit. One up.
And
what's up, yo?
And I'm not going to lie. I enjoy doing that.
Yo, 30 fucking years,
30
man.
Years, bitch. How long
have you been here? Years. What do you got?
So he's been here.
Shout out to those who done it.
So I'm like, "No, sorry. 30 years. We've never, I can assure you, we've never had any combos." And he comes back with, no exaggeration, he comes back with, "I've been a customer here 5 or 6 times. That totally trumps 30 years.
Five
or six times.
He doesn't even fucking know. how many times he showed up, but for fuck's sake, somebody who's worked at a location for 30 fucking years, the customer is never right, people.
No.
That's the thing. We have heard this phrase, the customer is always right. It is absolute bullshit. The customer is always an asshole.
Not okay that customer is always right thing.
Yeah.
And it's usually, okay. I mean, it's very rare that the customer will ever admit that they were wrong. But here about a month ago, God, I don't know if I've told you this story. I don't remember now.
She's pointing at Colin.
I'm sorry. Yes, I was pointing at my husband. This guy just walked up to me while I was standing behind the counter, and he just walks up to me and he goes, "You guys going broke?" And I was like,
"Let me check the books."
So of course, like, my hackles rise because I'm like, "The fuck you!"
Oh, and listener, let me tell you, if you don't remember from the old podcast, she has hackles. She has beat the shit out of people in the past, she
including her little brother.
No, not well. Sometimes, but then I grew up. But she has all the worst parts of my dad's DNA.
Oh yes, yes I do. So I just kind of glared at him and said, "No." And he starts complaining because he feels, because he, when we redid the foyer area and moved the game room from the back of the store to the front, he was part of that. And he put up the velvet wallpaper that is in the back room, and he felt that it looked bad now, that it was starting to rip in places and nothing was being taken care of. And he said, "We looked like crap." And he's just being very confrontational.
So, you know, a hired contractor decided that the work he did years ago
wasn't up to
his satisfaction. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. And then, maybe you did shitty work, son.
Right? That never crossed his mind. So I'm like, you know, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And he just kept harping and harping and harping. And I said, "You know what? I think I'm done talking to you. Bye." And then he just got pissed because, and he's like, "I need to talk to a manager." And I get to do now what I've always wanted to do.
I am the manager.
And he's like, "Well, as a manager, you should be thanking me for letting you know what's happening in your store." I'm like, "You think I don't know what's happening in my store? I know. Like, I know that we need to paint. I know that we could probably use a new wallpaper."
And you should be sad that you, as a contractor, are obsessing over work that you did years ago, because obviously you've got a lot on your mind.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe if you're angling for new work.
Yeah, that's what I'm somebody.
Thinking. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm like, you know, I don't think that I should have to thank you for coming up and being rude to me. And he was like, he pulls up his jacket and he goes, "Did you see this name on here?" And it was a contractor's...
Mike.
Yeah. No, it was the company name for the place he worked.
Mike's company.
Yes, Mike's Contracting. And he was like, "I know a lot of people, and I don't think you want me running around telling everybody not to come here because their manager's a bitch."
Oh, God.
A lot of exposure, guys. You're going to be paid in exposure.
Exactly. So I'm like, you know, if I had my way, you wouldn't say anything ever again.
I would kill you.
But he didn't get it. It went totally over his head what I said. And then
I am threatening murder on you.
Yes, exactly.
I am basically a goose, and geese will murder you.
They will. And so he starts in again about how bad it looks, blah, 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 and how I should be thanking him for bringing this to my attention. And I finally said,
"Can we call a spade a spade? This guy sounds like a misogynist."
Oh, definitely.
Oh, well, it gets better though, because I finally said, "I don't understand why you think I should thank you when you came at me with the words, 'You going broke?'" And he went, and you saw the realization dawn in his eyes. And he goes, "Oh, that was kind of a dick move."
Wow.
And I said, "It was. It really was. Why do you think I'm so angry at you?" And he goes, "You know, my wife always says that I have great intentions, but I have really bad follow through."
Oh, you made
and
me
I said,
feel bad?
Yeah. And he goes, and I said, "Well,
he's
your wife's not wrong."
All the feels.
And all of a sudden, he was like,
"Be glad
I'm
you've
really
managed to keep her."
He goes, "I'm really not an asshole." I said, "Well, I'm really not a bitch." And he's like,
"I mean, it depends."
And, well, I know it does, but I felt. I mean, yeah. But what's great about it was that one of my coworkers heard the beginning of our fight, and then she had to go take care of something in a different part of the store, and she came back, and she goes, I left. I thought you were going to kill him. I came back and y'all were best friends. What happened? And I'm like, he realized he was being a dick.
I'm growing and changing.
And seriously, by the time he left, he's like, we good? I'm like, yeah, we good.
We good. Order a fucking pizza, you
I wish
of
this
shit.
Was a metaphor for the country today.
Oh, man.
Right? If only all arguments could end like this.
That never happens, but just, and that's what I live for, is to see them go, oh,
that's what
shit, I'm a dick. To help poor and fortunate
souls like yourself.
Yeah.
Poor souls with no one left to turn to. I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. Anyone kidding when they called me well a witch? Anyway, that's my karaoke go-to. I'm sorry, guys. We're going to deviate while I sing some Ursula, and she's going to back me up on it. But
yeah.
No. No, I'm not going to fall into the same trap I fell into in episode one. I'm going to talk now. But like I said at the beginning, I host trivia just like Jessica does. I host once a week. She hosts twice a week because she's twice the host that I am. And very rarely do I end up with enemies of fun who want to interrupt the show. And it's not, again, due to any intimidating presence. It's not due to any ability. It's not due to any mystique. It's just due to the fact that, for the most part, I've had the same core crowd now for 10 years. And these people have followed me from venue to venue to venue, and they fill the seats. And so I don't have a lot of issues with people, you know, trying to be funny. Or trying to take over the show.
With hecklers.
Yeah, with hecklers. They know. But here's the thing. What I find out when I do get a heckler is that my regular people, God, they love it when I have a heckler because they want to see me utterly destroy that person. Like, they live for that. And they'll tell me, oh my God, we really were hoping you were going to, like,
they'll tell you about it then, and they'll post on Facebook about it for, like, 5 days afterwards.
5 days. But recently I was hosting at my venue, which is a great venue. I love it. It used to be when we were growing up, it was probably okay. When I was kind of a semi-adult, it was a decent, passable Mexican restaurant that I really liked. Then it became a biker bar. No, it's a pretty good venue. I like it. It's got great sound, got a stage. I don't have a lot of trouble there.
Nice staff.
Great staff. In fact, the server is a guy I used to live across the street from, and this is back when he was 150 pounds heavier and off his meds, and I used to see him getting fist fights in the street. Cool dude. But, I was, I am now, and I feel safe saying this, I am a stand-up comedian. I have done enough shows in enough parts of the country to say with confidence, I am a comic. This is something that I do. I tell jokes. I don't get paid much, but I am a stand-up comedian. And I am in a contest that is coming to the local club. This is the one I don't have to travel for. Yay. And it's coming up soon. And so the last time I was at this quiz, we were going into the last round. We only had 8 teams, so I was way ahead on time. And I said, hey, before I get into round 8 answers, I'm going to let you know that on this date, you should be at the local club to see me in this comedy festival. Hopefully I can win. But I really would love to see you guys there to see me tell dumb jokes. And then I started going into the answers. And then I heard somebody, what I thought was somebody shout, make them laugh. And I'm like, that's the idea. Okay, round 8, question number 1. And he said, no, make me laugh. And I'm like, I'm kind of busy right now. I'm working. And the guy's like, you're a shitty marketer for yourself, bro.
Great bro. Insult.
And I'm like, I mean, yeah, that's a shitty insult. But at the same time, I'm like, do you not understand when I tell, it's like, I became like dad at that point. It's like,
tell him partner.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We'll cover that in a sec.
Okay.
Because when I tell my kid something, I expect him to be like, okay, that's fact. And it was a younger person. And so I was like, I'm working. I don't have time for you right now. And I expected him to just accept and acquiesce, right? No, he kept on. And so I was instantly like, are you fucking kidding me? You don't understand that I am busy. I'm too busy to interact with you. And he just kept yelling, you're a shitty marketer for yourself. You call yourself a comedian and you won't make me laugh. And I was like, listen, I've already said once I'm working, and I am. All these people are here for what I'm doing. I'm trying to work. Just like you got to get up early tomorrow morning and go suck dicks for money. And the entire crowd goes, oh, shit. And here's the thing. The only reason I always bring out that hack-ass line, either it's, you know, I don't go where you work and knock the dicks out of your mouth, or you got to get up early in the morning and suck dicks for money. The only reason I bring up that hack-ass line is because it susses out the homophobes real quick. And this dude got pissed. He wanted to fight me. And he jumped out of his seat and he's all, "You suck the dicks. You're the dick sucker." And then he's like, "You a fat guy like you." And I was like, just trying to ignore him, right? And I'm just like, I'm going on round 8, question number 2. But I'm hearing what he's saying because I can multitask. And I'm thinking, how heavy is it? Where's the line? Like, what's the weight limit where you start, like, craving
I never realized, like, body size had anything to do with your sexual orientation.
Like, yesterday I wanted Taco Bell real bad. Today, I must have gained 2 pounds. I want a big fat dick. And that would have been a great thing to say because I think that's a good line, but I didn't say it because I'm trying to ignore him. I'm trying to shut him down.
You were trying to work.
I was trying to work, just like I told him I was trying to do. And he starts advancing toward the stage. And A, I'm like, "Yo, you want to fight me at quiz? Well, if you can wade through this room full of angry nerds who are starting to puff up like cobras, one of whom I know has hit a heckler in the face with a beer mug before, you go for it." But Jason, the guy who's the server, who I've said, "Oh, I've seen him fight in the street.
Badass."
It's like, it snapped. Like, it turned on. He hasn't drank. He's been on his meds. He's lost a shitload of weight, but it snapped. He was like, "You need to sit the fuck down." He started going toward him, and he met him. And apparently the dude just, like, fucking pouted at the bar for a while. And then I read one of the questions, because it's Pride Month, and we're trying to be very inclusive with quiz.
And it's trivia. I mean, that's what you're doing. Trivia. You're hosting bar trivia.
And the question was about the pride flag for asexuals. And it was, like, colors. And I said, "If you, this is your pride flag, what are you?" And the answer is asexuals. And he jumped out of his seat again. He's all, "That's you! You're asexual!" And I'm like, "You already said..." This is inner monologue. I'm like, "You already said that I'm fat and I suck dicks. If that's the case, that I'm not asexual." Like, but then again, maybe it is. Maybe it's just a mundane day-to-day workaday job for me and I have no emotional investment. But then I'm overthinking it. And I finally looked at him and I said, "You are barking up the wrong tree, buddy."
Buddy.
Now here's the thing. My dad, when shit was about to get real, and my dad was 6 foot one-ish, 400 pounds. He was a bear of a man. He was a mountain of a man. He's twice, I'm not good at fractions, but he's he's definitely not twice.
He was an intimidating fucker.
I'm pushing 300, but he was bigger than me.
He's a big guy.
And when shit was about to go down, if you heard him call somebody partner,
you got out the way.
Then you just get out the way. If you hear me call somebody buddy, then, as innocuous as that sounds, then the next step is hammer fists. It's just like, and I told him, I said, "You are barking up the wrong tree, buddy." And that's when the adrenaline kicked in. I'm like, if this motherfucker can make it to the stage, he ain't making it out of here alive. And Jason got him in check, said, "We don't want you to even close your tab. Get the fuck out of here." And apparently he ran out to his mom's Corolla and just, like, tore ass out of the parking lot. And it's like, it happens so rarely that it's just one of those, like, hype, hype, hype. But I was like, I got a job to do. I finished round 8. And everybody's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why?" I was like, "He was really mean." And I'm like, "You don't know. You don't think I know that I'm fat?" Like, nothing he said was shocking to me. I own a mirror. I left the house fat. I'm going to return home fat. It's okay. Like, what he said doesn't bother me. And they're like, "Yeah, but he was really an asshole." And I'm like, "And I wasn't?" But yeah, then two of the quizzers, one who's, he's a tall guy. He's got the guns. Gun show, Chad. He wanted to walk me out to my car.
Aww. And
I was like, "You know what? I will let you walk me out to my car," because I had ordered a pizza to go. And I was like, "You got to carry my pizza." So I made Chad carry my pizza out to the car.
Chad is like one of the nicest people ever, though.
Chad is super cool. He really is.
That's hecklers, man. Like, I don't know. I hear that story and I'm just like, it bothers me because obviously the dude was a complete homophobe.
He was. And like, he was just ready to cause trouble.
That riled up.
Yeah. And one of the staff members was like, I'm really sorry about that. And I'm like, you don't have to be sorry. He's like, he was an asshole all night. And I was like, where did he come from? Because I only saw him then.
Yeah.
Well, he was sitting at the other bar all night. And he was just a total asshole. And I'm like, well, I'm glad he got. Had a few drinks and drove home.
Makes you feel a little better when somebody has a complete meltdown that they were actually being a dick to the staff all night, too. So it's like, okay, let's antagonize you until you get the F out of the joint.
Oh, yeah. Well, you want the staff on your side. If you don't have the staff on your side, then you might as well just hang it up and go home.
I don't know. I've never had anything quite that dramatic happen at quiz, but I feel like... I'm going out on a limb here saying this because I'm female when I'm hosting. There are certain things that will happen to me that won't happen to male hosts.
It's absolutely
true. And vice versa, things will happen to male hosts that won't happen to me. One of the things that does not happen to me very often, being an overweight, fairly amenable female host, is that rarely will dudes try to challenge me to a fight. That just doesn't seem to be their MO.
Over there like, I'd take it.
I was thinking.
I've had people sling insults and stuff, and then they're usually just shocked at the shit that comes out of my mouth, and they shut down pretty quickly. But it's interesting to me the difference in the way people act to somebody who is trying to control a room, trying to host an event in a bar. I think the weirdest things that have happened to me, though, were from other women who were mouthing off. And best example is the proverbial, when you host an event in a bar, you will inevitably have to deal with the bachelorette party that comes in unannounced.
Yeah.
I was mid-quiz at one point. I had a bachelorette party come in. And they immediately demand your attention because they think that they are the center of the universe. They're usually shit-faced. I had a woman come in.
Oh, yeah. It's never the first stop.
Her entourage with her. And this particular venue was a venue in Fort Collins. Doesn't exist anymore. I was midway through round 6, so more than halfway through the quiz. And this woman comes in. She has her entourage. They're all wearing sashes. She has the crown. They have glitter. They're carrying shit with them and wands and crap. She walked down to the bar, walked in front of me. I have a microphone and I'm talking on the microphone. She walks in as if it was a parade. She climbs up on an empty stool, climbs up onto the bar, walks several steps down the bar, lays down on the bar in front of all the people sitting at the bar, pulls her dress over her head, was not wearing any undergarments of any sort, and passes the fuck out.
That's not sanitary.
Not in the slightest. And I stopped mid-sentence, and I was like, excuse me, friends, you might have noticed we have a small situation happening at the bar. The bartender looks at her friends and, with all of the grace he could muster, says, get her the fuck out of here now. And her friends try to promptly drag her limp body off of the bar, trying to pull her dress down over the very unsanitary parts that are now dragging across the bar, get her off of the bar and hustle her out the door. And then there's really not anything else you can do as a host after that. It's like, let's give the bachelorette party a round of applause, and you move on with the rest of quiz. I had an incident where, again, not a straight heckling situation, but I was at a bar here in Colorado Springs, and a gentleman who, weirdly enough, was sitting right next to me while I was hosting, spontaneously shouts out an answer. And during quiz, this is against the rules. This is bad. If you shout out an answer, you're bad. Usually it's some douche bro that doesn't know that trivia is happening and they are assholes about it and you tell them to shut the fuck up and they shut the fuck up or they get kicked out. This guy had a response I had never seen before. He shouted out the answer and then he made eye contact with me and was like immediately mortified and clamped his own hands over his mouth and then sat down. I was like, that's really weird.
It's not normal behavior.
I get like two questions in, Two more questions go by. He does the same bullshit again. Like, he just spontaneously, it's like he can't control himself. He shouts it out. This time his friend grabs him by the shirt collar and sets his ass down in the chair. Four questions later, the dude is standing on the table just screaming and shrieking stuff. And everybody in the bar is like, the bar came to a complete standstill because everybody was just like, what is happening right now? And I looked at the dude's friends and I was like, I think you need to take him outside now before you officially get kicked out. And they escort him out. And the manager shows up and kind of walks behind them out the door. And about 15 minutes later, during one of the breaks, one of his buddies comes up to me and is like, I am so sorry. He just dropped like 3 hits of acid right before quiz started.
Oh my God.
He had no idea. We just thought it would be a great idea. We're on spring break. I'm just going to take a couple of hits right before this trivia starts. We're nerds. What? We're going to hang out. We're going to have a good time playing quiz. And he had a complete psychotic meltdown, like right in the middle of the most asinine, like, name the countries in South America round we have ever done.
They're dragons!
Yeah. And, what? But it was beautiful because he felt bad. It was like, I'm losing control. I just shouted something. Was that me? Oh my God, that was me. I better try to stop myself from saying it again. And then he did it again.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Having never taken acid, I don't have any basis for comparison. But I mean, I don't think I would ever have the, hey, let's drop 2 hits of acid and play trivia.
I don't know how much acid is too much, but that was apparently too much. So.
I don't. Jesus Christ. Wow. Drop acid and go play some trivia, you guys.
Don't.
Don't do it because you're going to make the host mad. They might tell you to go suck dicks for money. Or they might be nice to you like Jess and just say, get out.
Also, no offense to anybody who sucks dicks for money because we love you.
Hey, sex work is work and sucking dicks is great. So keep it up. Thank you very much for joining us for this second episode of The Big Program. My name is Derek Knight. I have been here, as has Colin.
Yep, goodbye.
And Heather.
See you later.
And Jessica.
Woohoo.
Remember, fuck Montrose, and we will see you back again another time.